Friends, once more, I would like to ask you to turn the Bible in Matthew chapter 4, the portions we just read. This morning we looked at the temptation of Adam. Matthew chapter 4. This morning we looked at the temptation of Adam. And Adam and Eve in particular, they failed. They succumbed to temptation. They disobeyed the command of God not to eat the fruit of the tree of knowledge and evil. Knowledge of good and evil. Thus, ruining the whole mankind. A simple act of disobedience, my friend, at a great cost. Separation from God and death. And here we have Christ in this account of being tempted. Tempting means that the word to tempt has two meanings. It can mean to try, as God in the Bible we are told he tempted Abraham. He didn't tempt him, he tried when he asked him to sacrifice Isaac. He tried his faith. And the other word is to entice, like in the case of Satan enticing Eve to do what is to disobey God. And Satan tried to entice Christ. Now Christ was tempted, but Christ could never sin. Let's put it right from the very beginning. Now there are people who claim that Christ, he could have sinned. The Son of God cannot sin because he doesn't have, never had, the sinful nature we have. Christ had a human body. Indeed, he did. But he didn't have the sinful nature. He was tired. And we read here in verse 1. The time was very interesting timing. The time of this temptation. It was after Christ was baptized. If you look in the previous chapter, chapter 3, verse 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straight away out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." A very interesting time after such a manifestation, so to speak, of the Trinity, the Son, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. The baptism of Christ. Let me give a word about the baptism of Christ. I'm not debating about adult infant baptism or anything like that. There are people who teach that Christ became God at his baptism. Let's be careful not to believe this heresy. Christ is the eternal Son of God. That baptism was the identification with us, so to speak. But it's not. Christ didn't have to repent of any sin, and Christ didn't have to didn't become God at his baptism. So let me underline this, my friends, because there are people out there who will tell you that Christ became God at his baptism. Not at all. So Christ was tempted after that he was manifest as being the Messiah, the Son of God. He was the Father declared to be his Son. "This is my Son." He was anointed by the Spirit. And it's amazing, my friends, that after a blessing or a blessed time or times when we enjoy fellowship, deep fellowship with God, we are attacked by the devil. Have you ever realized that? Isn't it interesting that after we have a good fellowship, after we had a sweet fellowship with God, the devil comes and attacks us. And he did the same thing with the Son of God. So the time, after a time of intense blessing, so to speak, the place. Adam, the first Adam, was tempted in a beautiful garden. Christ, being the second Adam, was taken to a wilderness. And he was tempted in a solitary place. Adam, the first Adam, was surrounded by the beauty of creation. Christ was surrounded by lonely desert and wild beasts. And he was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And he was hungry. That's interesting. That reveals that Christ had a human nature. There are people who say that Christ didn't have a human nature. What we have was an apparition. No, Christ had a human nature. He had a human body, so to speak. Not a sinful nature. He had a human body. He was tired. He was hungry. He needed rest. It's very important that we understand that, because if we understand that Christ suffered, that Christ was hungry, that Christ was tired, then we can identify, we understand that he understands, he knows what we feel. So here we are, Christ hungry, might pronounce the H properly, hungry, wanted something to eat. And the tempter comes along, Satan, the father, a liar, and the father of all lies, the old serpent, as we learned this morning. He came to tempt Christ. As he came to tempt the first Adam to sin, he comes to tempt the second Adam to defy God's will. And so this is the one thing. He says this. The first thing is, he tempted to satisfy his own need. He tempted Christ to satisfy his own need. After all, Christ was hungry. He had been eating for 40 days. And he says in verse 3, "If thou be the Son of God, command that the stones be made bread." If thou be the Son of God, command that his stones be made bread. Could Christ change the stone into bread? Yes, he could. He could. Remember that Christ is the Word, and things were created by him. But Christ refuses. By answering with the word of God. It is written. You see, why did Christ did not change the stones into bread? Because if he had done so, he would have done something at the urge of Satan. And can the creator of heaven and earth be urged and pushed to do something by the devil? He could not. The devil is an inferior being. He's a real person. He's a real spiritual being. My friends, let me remind you, Satan is a real person. He's a real thing. But he's not all-knowing. Never give Satan the same attributes which belong to God alone. Satan is not all-knowing. Satan is not almighty. And Satan is not all present. It's a created being. So the temptation is to satisfy his need. But Christ answer with the word of God. It is written. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He was answering Satan this word this way, that the physical needs are not just it's not everything physical. Man needs more than bread. Man needs more than bread. He needs the word of God to live. He needs the teaching of God to live. He needs God to live. Every word. Now, my friends, when you are tempted, how do you face temptation? How do we overcome temptation? You see, Christ, we often are in difficulties, and we could be tempted to do something which is not right before God to satisfy even legitimate needs. Let us be careful, because very often we could fall into the trap that we need, there is a need, therefore the means justify the ends. Christ didn't give in. He could have changed the stones into bread. He's the Son of God. He could have even made bread appear like the manna from heaven. If he was hungry, he was the Son of God. He could have done more than that. And yet he refused, because he put the fact that there is more to life than bread. And very often people, my friends, people, and even believers, yield to temptation, because they put the needs first. When you have a need, you go to the Almighty God, who will supply all your need. Don't give in to the temptation. Now, to be tempted is not a sin. We are all tempted. Temptation, Martin Luther used to say, are like the birds flying over your head. You cannot help it. You cannot stop all the birds from flying over your head, but you can't stop the birds from making a nest on your head. Now, we are tempted. We are also frail. So Christ gives us a very interesting lesson here. He says no to a legitimate need if the legitimate need involves a defiance of God and of God's order. Satan telling Christ, if thou be the Son of God, doubting him. Again, as Satan questioned God's truth in the Garden of Eden with Eve, as God said, is now questioning the truth of Christ, if thou be the Son of God. Don't give in to the reasoning of Satan. So Christ gives us here an example. He answered with the word of God. It is written. How can, if this is one of the first things, the other thing is very interesting. Satan tempted Christ to destroy himself. Interesting. If you come with me, my friends, to verse 5. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, to the highest part of the temple, highest places, and say unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. Self-destruction. He's questioning again, he's tempting the Lord, if you really are the Son of God, throw yourself down. If the Lord will protect you. He promised you. Doesn't he say so? Now, my friends, there is a... we have to be careful how we... The devil tries to tempt us to destroy ourselves as well. He wants to destroy our testimony. Let me give you an example. You may be tempted to go to places where you shouldn't be. You're a Christian, the world says. Your God promises protection. Well, you can be anywhere. If God is everywhere, He'll protect you wherever you are. Indeed, it's true. He will. He does. But are we supposed to be in places where sin is practiced? You see, the devil wants to make the Lord, the Christ, proud. You are the Son of God. Cast yourself down. You will be protected. But he cannot do that successfully. He cannot succeed. But with us being human, we can do something like that. We can fail for this temptation, to be tempted to do something which is foolish, to think that we are untouchable, being in high places, like in the pinnacle of the temple, high places. They state this symbology here. Sometimes we get to a certain point in life, we think that nothing bad can happen to us, that even if we do something, we always fall on a safe ground. Let's not be foolish and tempt the Lord in this way. It is written, Jesus said, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." To tempt, to do something like that, it's like when people will get in a car, don't wear a safety belt and do 100 miles an hour and think in terms, "The Lord will protect me." No, He doesn't. Because you are rebelling and you defy, you are presuming on God. You're tempting God. Let's be careful not to tempt God. Let's be careful not to think that we can do certain things. It doesn't matter what. The Lord will protect us. Let's not defy divine providence and divine protection. Sometimes the devil will tempt us to do certain things because he wants to deceive us. He wants to create a false sense of security and in such a way that we can defy God. Let's not tempt the God, the Lord. No, that's not. We can do that in spiritual ways. You know, if we are a believer, if we are a believer, we should not be in places where sin is practiced. If we are believers, we should not tempt the Lord by watching things we are not supposed to watch or read things we are not supposed to. If we think, "Yes, I can cope with a sin, the Lord will protect me." No, my friends, you cannot cope with a sin. We cannot cope with a temptation. You are not Christ. You're mortal. And then there is a temptation to another temptation. Satan tempted Christ to worship him. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Verse 8. And saith unto him, "All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." The devil saying to the creator of heaven and earth, "I will give you what belongs to you if you worship me." Yes, it is. The devil is described as the prince of the air, as the prince of this world, but he doesn't own everything. And men have failed for the desire to have power. "I will give all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me." What a foolish request. What a blasphemous request. How can a creature demand the worship and reverence of his creator? And now Christ answers, "Thou shalt worship." Christ answered, this is more interesting. Christ rebukes Satan. "Get thee and Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." It is a fight of faith, isn't it? What do you do when you are tempted? Christ, every time he was tempted, he answered with the word of God. "It is written. It is written." Do you know what is written in the Word of God when it comes to certain temptation? I remember when I was a little boy, I used to go out with my friends in the countryside. And I lived in the countryside, so you know, the oranges and lemon tree. And I love lemons. No, we eat lemons. I don't know if you can eat lemons, but we eat lemons. Now, in Sicily, just to give before now, in order to avoid you misunderstanding, in Sicily, is not considered stealing if you're angry and pick up a fruit and eat it there. Nobody will accuse you of stealing. It's foraging. It's considered a legal thing. But if you take a bag full of fruit and take it away, that is stealing. If you eat it there, nobody think you're stealing. But if you take a bag of stuff without the permission of the farmer, that is stealing. And so I was going out with my school friends. We were going out working in the countryside. And of course, you know, nice lemons. So I picked up one, knowing it's not a problem to eat one. And I ate one. But then my friend picked up a plastic bag and said, let's take some home. I said, no, we can't. That's stealing. So the question is, I remember that I was taught as a child, thou shalt not steal. The importance of teaching the Ten Commandments to your children, that's what I'm trying to get. Teaching the principles. This is, I remember as a little boy that I was taught in Sunday school the Ten Commandments, and one of them was, thou shalt not steal. What I want to drive at, my friend, is this. We need to say, learn, if we're a believer, to say no to the temptations of the devil. Because he comes there, he comes to you, he comes to me, he comes to each one of us, telling us that the sin where the sin he wants to tempt us to do is not bad. He comes and tells us something you need. Do you need with Christ? Christ was hungry. And he tempted him to do something to provide food for himself. So he tempts us with something we need. He tempts us with something about ourselves, our image. Just cast down yourself, your image, our pride. And he tempts us with wanting to have the preeminence. If you worship me and fall down before me, I will give you all the kingdoms of the earth. He cannot do that. We need to answer with the Bible. Get thee and Satan. It is written. Get thee and Satan. It is written. We need to. That's why it's important, my friends, that we read the Bible every day. Because, as I just illustrated, now we may be tempted to lie. Big temptation, lying, isn't it? I mean, just to give an example, my grandmother used to say, oh, it's only, if you have to lie because it's necessary, it's only a white lie, it's not important. I used to say to my grandmother, no, the Bible says, thou shalt not bear false witness. And the Bible doesn't make any difference between a white or a black lie. Lying is lying. And my friends, let me tell you, we can fall into the temptation of lying if we are cornered. But we must say no to lying. So in a way, we need to remember that through the Word of God, we can answer to the temptation. So temptations can fly over our head. How do we? And we must not be surprised. There are people who want to avoid temptation. Guess what they do? They put themselves in a monastery. Forgetting the human nature. You know, it doesn't matter if you go to a Roman Catholic monastery or a Buddhist monastery. They forget the human nature. And you know very well, sin abounds in those places. So, temptation. Christ was tempted for another reason, allowed himself to be tempted. To prove, to teach us that we can't resist temptation. You see, as the first Adam yielded to temptation, Christ is teaching, by letting himself to be tempted, is teaching us that he will help us to withstand temptation. Now, we cannot resist temptation simply because of our reason, because of our, we need to be in the Word of God. Christ, of course, the Bible to him was not unknown. He could answer, "It is written." So how do we fight temptation? Well, again, I repeat, by studying and meditating the Word of God. There are a lot of Christians today who fall into temptation because they don't read the Bible, they don't meditate on the principles the Bible teach. They excuse sin. You see, when the Bible says, "Thou shalt not murder," it doesn't simply say, we must not physically kill. It also applies to hatred towards other people. Because when Jesus, if you want to understand the Ten Commandments, the best commentary of the Ten Commandments, my friend, is the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus himself gave the best commentary. And Jesus not only says forbade the murdering, but also the fact that we can call people names. Hatred, despising. So it gives us all the, when we are tempted. No, we are not going to do it, because the Bible says, because Christ commands, because the consequence of this sin will be disastrous for the spiritual life. We are in a fight, my friend. Christians, until they realize they are in a fight against the devil, they will never grow. We are in a fight. We are not in a truce. There is no truce with that enemy. We don't do truces with Satan. No armistice, no peace. Because he's the enemy of God, and he's our enemy. He wants our destruction, and he wants the destruction of the Word of God. And so read the Scriptures. Study the Scriptures. Apply the Scriptures. What is the Bible teaching to me? You see, Christ could answer, "It is written." I wonder what each one of us would have answered had we tempted, if we were to be tempted with the same temptations and not knowing the Scriptures. The natural, if we were tempted to change the stones into bread, we would have probably asked Satan, "How do you do it?" That's the human nature, the natural reaction. How can I do it? I'm angry. I need to do it. So what I'm trying to, let's dwell in the Word of God. And I also remember one thing, and at times people don't understand. When we are tempted, let's remember that we are never, ever alone. You see, what happens with Adam? First, Adam was tempted, he failed, and he didn't confess his sin. He just blamed God. He blamed Eve, and he blamed God. And Eve blamed the serpent. They never confessed their sin, they never admitted, they never apologized, they never say, "I'm sorry," they never ask for forgiveness. But we have a very important, we have Christ, advocate, defender. Now, in the Apostle Paul, in the Epistle of Hebrews, chapter 2, verse 18, says this, "For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, and he is able to succour them that are tempted." What a beautiful promise. I'm not alone in this temptation. Christ is with me. Christ will come on up. That's why Christ taught us. Didn't he teach us the Lord in Matthew, the Lord's Prayer, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." We have Christ with us. He's a Savior. He's a Lord and Savior. He will come. He doesn't want us to fail. He won't leave us to be tempted. He will give us the strength to resist the temptation, the Bible tells us. So we can never say that. So you see, the devil can never force you to do anything. He can tempt you to do something wrong, but he can never force you. He can never push you into it. Because he's not almighty. He's a deceiver. So Christ is our sympathetic. He can hear when we cry upon him. Now when we are tempted, whom do you call? Believers sometimes let themselves to be tempted and yield to temptation because instead of calling upon the Lord in the moment of temptation, they try to deal with the temptation on their own strength. They try to deal with the temptation on their own strength. Christ gave us the example. He went back to the Word of God. He wanted to teach us to be dependent on the Word of God and to be dependent on the Lord. So how do we resist temptation? By being dependent not just on the Word of God, but on God. We call upon him. We call upon him first thing, because when you are tempted, you see, it's like when you have the first symptoms of a heart attack, you call 999. You don't wait for the heart attack to become serious. You call first thing 999 as soon as something is wrong. So in a spiritual realm, as soon as there is a temptation, we need to go to God. We need to go to the throne of grace. Because he was tempted like us. He understands. Never think, my friend, never think for a moment that you feel like, I've been tempted, I'm ashamed of being tempted, I cannot go to the throne of grace. No, temptation is not a sin. It's the yielding to temptation that is a sin. So when you feel tempted, when you are tempted, go to the throne of grace. Don't give in, don't give up. Go straight away to the throne of grace. Because he is able to succor you. He is able to help you. And to conclude, what do we do if we fail? Well, if we fail, there is mercy and his forgiveness. The Apostle John, in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, he tells us this. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. John is not writing to unbelievers, he's writing to believers. That's why it's also important that we confess our sins to the Lord daily. That we examine ourselves. There's a lot of people today, a lot of believers do not examine themselves. They go to bed and probably they don't even examine their conscience. They pray a prayer, maybe, thank you Lord for this day, and they don't look at what they've done. They don't ask themselves the questions, have I served the Lord today? Have I honored the Lord with my speaking? Have I caused dishonor to my Lord? You see, Christ was victorious. We may say, but Christ was God. Yes, but he was victorious because he relied he gave us the example. He relied on God and the Word of God. He gave us the example. And God will never give us an example of something we cannot do. He will give us the strength to do it. He will give us guidance. That's why we are the temple of the living God. That's why we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. It dwells in us. It's with us. It will never leave us. It will never forsake us. So, my friends, I hope that in a way I've tried to convey an encouragement not to yield to temptation. Temptation is not sin, but yielding is sin, and to resist the devil. We are commanded to resist the devil. And the Lord will give us the strength. And if we fail, rather than feeling miserable about ourselves and brooding and being depressed, let's repent. Let's go again to the throne of grace to obtain mercy. let's be restored as soon as possible. Because the longer we leave it, when we fail and yield into the temptation, the longer we leave the confessing before God, the greater become the pain of this separation from God. And the easier target will become for Satan in further temptation. May the Lord continue to encourage you and strengthen you as you endeavor to serve Him. Do you want me?